This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, Moolah No More. WWE ditching the fabulous Moolah portion of the WrestleMania Battle Royal, plus what's making us happy in wrestling this week. So Jake, for once, we're doing this show and we get to talk about something you and Jason didn't get a chance to cover in .NET Weekly because it hadn't happened yet. So recording on Fridays is really working out.
We wasted a lot of breath on the Moolah controversy on .NET Weekly, and then immediately after we were done recording, WWE pulled Moolah. So that was pretty funny, actually. I was looking at Twitter as we were done recording, and I was getting back to work, and I see people posting about it. I'm like, oh, well, that's already dated information.
And speaking of wasting breath about the fabulous Moolah, I feel really bad for like the WWE production team who had to make an entire video package lionizing such a terrible person, only to then get told less than a week later, no more. We're done. We're not doing that. Sorry.
Yeah, there's been a lot of. That video package was atrocious, by the way. Just some of the things that were said were just so blatantly wrong. Moolah wasn't even close to being the best wrestler of her time period.
Don't tell the comment section on the free side of ProWrestling.net that.
Well, people buy into people buy into WWE's mythology or, just information that they've been assuming for forever and ever. But, Moolah changed what was a much different wrestling business into what you saw for, 30 years from the 60s through basically the 90s until, the influence of Japan started making its way over to the U.S. It was just a lot of hair pulling and cat fights. And that was women's wrestling for a long time. And that was largely because of Moolah's influence on the business. And so it's hard for me to take anything WWE had said about her seriously, because it's basically just revisionist history completely 100%.
Well, and it seems like, and we'll get into what the accusations are and what happened, and just the remarkable moment of fan pressure changing something in this way. But it seems to me that you can draw some sort of direct line between WWE needing a quote-unquote women's revolution, evolution, whatever you want to call it, and Moolah. What she did to the business, what she did to the wrestling business, is directly responsible for women being held back and held down for so long, to the point that WWE mistreated so many of its female performers, and just now we're starting to see some movement towards equality. I think you can absolutely say that Moolah was the reason wrestling was the way it was. She was not this groundbreaking performer that broke the mold. She created the mold that held women down in WWE and other areas of pro wrestling for a very long time.
Well, you look at the major women's pushes in WWE during her, her years of having a lot of influence, and it's like Wendi Richter was a major star in the WWE in the early 80s, and she, as soon as she attempted to get paid for what her actual worth was, they spider-ladied out of the company and out of wrestling history until later on in life, when she kind of came back and had a Hall of Fame induction. But by that point, her relevance had faded into obscurity. And then later on, when WWE seemed kind of half serious about pushing the Jumping Bomb Angels, and then there was the Golden Girls. I'm forgetting the name of the other tag team, but they were set to have a WrestleMania match in the late 80s. And then Moolah's interference in that, where she, when they were on an overseas tour, she basically booked a title change that she didn't tell the office about, led to that match getting canceled. And so it's just like she's the antithesis of everything that they ever, that they've been doing for the past couple of years in sort of reviving women's wrestling. And it was her influence that kept, that part of wrestling and women's advancement in wrestling from happening for damn near 40 years. And so it's very bizarre, and it's only because of, you know, her loyalty to the McMahon family over the years that I would think Vince would even consider putting her as an emblem for women's advancement in the sport. Like, it's just complete revisionist history based on his own fantasy world that he lives in. Like, nobody who has even taken the facts remotely seriously could even come to that conclusion.
Well, and it's a way for WWE to have plausible denial that they didn't hold women back for so long. Like, in a sense, it's a way for them to say, no, if we held women back, how do you explain Moolah? How do you explain how she did so much? Watch this video package and see everything she did. It's WWE kind of trying to deny that they are the reason that they need a revolution of sorts in the first place, which is honestly one of the most frustrating things about watching WWE right now. I know a lot of people get annoyed by the first time ever is, you know, WWE constantly patting themselves on the back for, you know, actually giving women a fair shake as far as wrestling stories go. And that doesn't frustrate me as much as kind of it doesn't frustrate me too much, because I realize that WWE probably wouldn't do it if they couldn't pat themselves on the back. So I watch it with kind of saying, like, hey, I wish they wouldn't, and I wish they would acknowledge that the reason they need this is their own doing, but hey, at least it's happening. We're at least getting this, and that is progress. That's really important progress in pro wrestling. So basically what it seems like happened, and correct me if I'm getting something wrong here, but it seems like WWE announces this battle royal, not expecting the level of fan backlash that they got. Twitter goes nuts that night. There are mainstream articles that are getting hundreds of thousands of views. I know David Bixenspan wrote a piece for Deadspin about it that was one of the most viewed articles on that site this week. It was nuts just how many people were seeking out information on Moolah, reading about this, and seeing the terrible things she did. And people were restating the accusations that she essentially pimped out, you know, trainee wrestlers to promoters. They were repeating the accusations you were saying about kind of making it so the style of wrestling for women was bad hair pulling matches, because she thought that's all it should be.
And she ripped them all off. Like, yeah. You read
and
the story.
And took like 60% of their money.
Yeah, well, more in some cases, because you're talking about the promoter. She arranged exclusive contracts, and then she didn't allow anybody who was working for her to have an individual bank account. And then she had them stay in a duplex at her training center, or whatever you want to call it, on her property. And then she would charge them rent and utilities and travel. And then she would take, you know, 30 or 40% of their pay for herself. And so all this stuff was coming off the top of these women's payouts. Basically, you ended up with women being perpetually in debt to Moolah, despite working full time wherever she booked them, whenever she wanted them to go. And so it was essentially, you know, a woman who was a grifter pimp being in, you know, placed in a position of being a revolutionary for women's wrestling and being held up as an example for women in wrestling to follow into the future. It's like living in a reality that doesn't exist. And the fact that they would try to promote it and not think people who were, you know, keyed into the situation would object to it is crazy. And I'm really glad that, you know, articles like David's got as many views as they did, and they must have gotten advertiser attention, because, you know, it seems like this was something driven by, you know, corporate sponsors leaning on WWE to make a change here.
Yeah, it seems like people were outspoken about it. Eventually, the outspokenness got to Snickers, who I believe had to make a statement of some sort. And then WWE fully walked back, naming it after Moolah. Yesterday, they said, our bad. We're not going to call it that. It's going to be called the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. And they're, I guess, just going to put a WrestleMania sign on the trophy now. Who knows what that trophy will be, if there will be one. It won't be the first ever WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal, that's for sure, because we had that classic in 2009 that we can talk about. But
was that the one that Kid Rock ruined with his entrance music?
Kid Rock did all of the entrances for it instead of the women getting individual entrances, and Santino Marella won it in drag.
That's right.
What a great moment for women's wrestling.
How horrifying.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. He was
the James Ellsworth of his day.
Funnier, at least. But yeah, he was put in a position to deprive women of their spots, and he did so. But I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
So it seems like it was sponsor pressure that did a lot of this, and a lot of fans reaching out to sponsors as well. I think it's a bit of a remarkable moment for online wrestling activism. I was really stunned by just the reaction to it in general, because I'm a defeatist sometimes. I feel like I've been around the block a couple times with WWE doing crappy things like naming an award after the Ultimate Warrior, or honoring the Ultimate Warrior at all, or honoring Jim Cornette at all. Like, all of those things where I'm like, these are really bad people. We're just ignoring all that? All right, cool. It's cool. I'll just walk over here. So I'm a bit of a defeatist, and I was really surprised even Monday night by the vehement reaction so many people had, and so many people in wrestling media as well, that were, instead of, I guess, taking the defeatist approach that admittedly I was, a lot of people said, no, this is wrong. Here's why this is wrong. Here are full-on articles why this is wrong. Now let's change it. And it worked.
Yeah, I wonder, you know, because they've had Susan G. Komen sort of be a part of that whole warrior, you know, campaign that they're running. And I, you know, could enough pressure be placed on, because that's really, you have to start costing people money or start tarnishing people's public image before things really change. And that's, you know, if Snickers threatens to pull their sponsorship over something like this, then WWE is going to quickly make changes like we saw yesterday. But, you know, it's like you have another award where they honor people who fight through unimaginable circumstances, you know, just based on a guy who made regular hate speeches, you know, and it defined his non-WWE life, you know, to the point where people had just sort of began to ignore him because it had gotten so ugly and so bad. And so, you know, the act of trying to rehabilitate a guy like that. I mean, yeah. And that's true. You know, he very well could have ran for president and got votes. But he, you know, it's like you put him in the category of people like, you know, David Duke or, yeah, you know, some just people who just make absolutely crazy, insulting and backward statements on a regular basis. And it wasn't, you know, I guess his most prominent tirades were against homosexuality. But I mean, beyond that, he made a lot more corrosive and dangerous comments, you know, especially about, you know, following Hurricane Katrina, about the people of New Orleans. You know, they're heading into New Orleans for this show and they're going to have a Warrior Award ceremony. Like, I'm just surprised there hasn't been more of a conversation about that too, because, you know, there's so many better people you could have assigned that award to. I mean, hell, you know, the Spanish word for warrior is guerrero, and I can think of a pretty good wrestler you could name an award after.
Yeah, who people tend to talk very highly of and tend to talk about as a mentor. Well, and not
Eddie
that
had his, I mean, Eddie had his demons.
Oh,
don't
yeah,
get me wrong. But I mean, it wasn't something where it defined how people remember him.
Eddie's demons didn't seem to be hating entire swaths of people for no apparent reason, which were Warrior's demons, among others. Yeah, it's
correct.
Yeah. It's pretty awful. So sponsor pressure seems to be what did this. But what is this battle royal now? Where are we? So now it's the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. They haven't slipped the word pre-show in there. So does this mean that it will be on the main show? If so, what do you think this ends up being? We know Kid Rock is going to be in New Orleans, Jake. Do we get a WrestleMania 25 redo?
That would be awful. I kind of have a sneaking suspicion it will be on the pre-show. I mean, I don't know that for certain, obviously, but I, just judging by the fact that they seem to be reserving star power for the match, you know, it looks like to me you have Charlotte and Asuka, which is going to be fantastic, and then you're going to have Nia and Alexa, which, I mean, depending on how the rest of this story goes, could either be a very empowering story or it could be a really gross one, depending on which way it breaks. But
little from column A, little from column B.
Yeah, but you know, it seems like we're gonna see Sasha and Bayley and Becky Lynch and Naomi and some of the other, you know, women that they promote rather heavily as being, you know, the top tier of their respective divisions. They're gonna be in this battle royal, so it very well could end up on the main show. But I don't know, you know, now that they're not all gonna have to say some horribly, servile statement about the fabulous Moolah, maybe they can actually have them talk about their real inspirations. But that would, of course, as we talked about it a little bit before we recorded, that would require actual character development, which they have not shown an affinity to do.
Did Sasha and Bayley announce for the match? Like, did they? I know they were in the video
included
package.
In the video packages, but they have not announced for the match. I just don't know if they're going to end up having three singles women's matches on the main show. I could be wrong, and I hope I'm wrong, but it seems like they're leaving that possibility out there.
As I keep saying, if they one singles match for the women will be the first one since 2006, so at a WrestleMania show, so one is actually like a remarkable achievement. Doing three on this show I think would be a gosh dang statement. And as I wrote after Fastlane on Sunday, putting Charlotte and Asuka on last would be kind of the kicker and what I think they should do at this WrestleMania. But I've presented that in audio form on the call-in show and had some good discussions about it with people on that show, actually. So definitely won't bore everyone with that here. But Jake, how many things in wrestling do you think Snickers can fix for us? Because I could start a list.
Yeah, if we could get some small regional promotions, a Snickers, you know, sponsorship, then I think we could fix just about everything. But I don't have another target for it, other than you mentioned that tweet about Michael Elgin that made us both chuckle. But I don't know. I mean, I think if there are sponsors who, you know, mainstream sponsors, Snickers is a – you know, it's a company that has a particular image that they're going to try to protect. And obviously they don't want to be associated with a grifter pimp, you know. So,
yeah.
I mean, and I'm surprised that they, you know, that Warrior is still able to fly under the radar, but it seems like he is. But yeah, I mean, if wrestling companies are going to be going after sponsors, they, you know, it's good that people are making them aware of some of these known public issues that they've been going through. And Elgin's a good example of that, but there's no shortage of, you know, people being mistreated in the wrestling business.
Well, yeah, as WWE seems to possibly be on the verge of becoming even more mainstream, being on broadcast television instead of cable for the first time since SmackDown was on the CW. So I think 2009 or 2010 or somewhere before it moved to Sci-Fi, it was a long, long period of time. It's been a while since SmackDown has been on broadcast TV, or WWE has been on broadcast TV regularly. If they get this Fox deal and are doing their show on Monday nights, I think sponsorship, this will be the way to change things in wrestling. Going to sponsors saying, look at what they're lionizing, look at what this history is. And while some people will say, well, I don't want a clean cut erased version of WWE history, I think that's fair. I also don't want the WWE whitewashed version of history that says Fabulous Moolah was awesome for women and a real pioneer in her day, instead of saying, let's just not mention her. Like, I think it's better not to mention her than to praise her as this pioneer.
And it's kind of weird to me that Vince would have gone as far as he, you know, I guess the non-confirmed rumor is that he was upset about the fact that he had to pull, you know, Moolah's name after, because he was, you know, the one who decided to name it that way in the first place. But, like, you know, he's written about it in the past, or talked about it in interviews, and I think Jim Ross has alluded to it at times in the past, that Vince was very he was careful about not wanting to be associated with the Carney sort of past and origins of the wrestling business. And obviously, you know, that hasn't always been the case over the years, just based on some of the stories you hear coming out of WWE and how it was run. But I'm just surprised that he would embrace something like like Moolah's past, other than just because of loyalty to his family, because it's definitely one of those things that you would hear about in the Carney days of wrestling, about how people were treated and how women especially were degraded at times. And it's one of those things where it's just like I can't really find a logical reason for it, other than Vince is just, you know, he's insanely loyal to the people who have been loyal to him.
That really does seem to be what it is. Vince McMahon will be loyal to those who were loyal to him, and especially loyal to him back in the day. And it's going to, at times, take pressure like this to get him not to be. And I'm really happy to see this and kind of see this moment for change and think, oh, wow, they actually care about this, they're actually doing something, which it is remarkable. Jake, as we wrap up today's show, what's making you happy in wrestling this week?
You know, I this year, for whatever reason, because it hasn't always been the case, I've been enjoying the New Japan Cup. And I think there's been a couple of really good matches, you know, just recently, particularly Zack Sabre Jr. and Kota Ibushi. And the Ishii and Elgin match was okay if you're willing to put up with watching Michael Elgin. But just the, you know, Toru Yano, or, you know, his comedy. And I think there's just – I like the format of a single elimination tournament quite a bit. And so I think the way it's borne out this year has been a lot of fun. And I think the finals, which I'm guessing at this point – I haven't seen the results from yesterday. I'm hoping it's going to be Juice Robinson and Zack Sabre Jr. I think it'll be a lot of fun.
I have not yet watched the New Japan Cup, and I'm excited to go through, especially the tournament matches, and watch. I don't usually watch full shows, but I can make the time to catch the tournament matches a lot, and I'm excited to see it, because when I saw the brackets come out, I kind of did a sideways squint, like, huh, so we're doing that? Okay, this will be all right. I think this will be fine. But it seemed, hearing people talk about it, it seems like it has been much, much better than fine. My happy is also a single elimination tournament. The new 205 Live is really fun. Watching, and we knew it, like the Cruiserweight Classic showed, yeah, they can do a single elimination tournament with something tangible on the line pretty well. And watching how they're constructing stories, how they're giving wrestlers narratives, that build off of what they did before, and guys like Drew Gulak, but also say, no, now they're serious. Now they're turning on a different level, and watching wrestlers like Cedric Alexander get a chance to shine, watching wrestlers like Roderick Strong get set up well, and especially the match this past week that Cedric Alexander and Roderick Strong had was delightful. I'm really enjoying the new 205 Live, and I'm excited for what they do after the tournament, because that's kind of the great unknown. Like, we know the tournament will happen and then something, but I'm enjoying the new approach with the show, and really, really glad this is happening instead of, you know, the Enzo Amore Power Hour or whatever that was.
Yeah, that was the there's no doubt about that. So have you seen much of what they're trying to do with a tag division now and in 205 Live? I think it's interesting with the limited roster that they have that they try to put tag teams together, but we'll have to see how that works out.
I think it's interesting. I think it's a sign that they're probably going to bring more guys up, which is a bit of an issue when the WWE roster in general is so big right now. That's actually one of the jarring things looking at WrestleMania is going, how do you even try to fit everyone on a show? How do you make this happen? And we're seeing triple threats and all of that get constructed because there's not another way to do it. There's not another way to give all of the wrestlers that deserve spots those spots. And that is depressing to see, but it's also neat when you think about opportunities like a tag division on 205 Live. I'm a little taken aback at WWE adding tag titles for cruiserweights, which will be the fourth set of male tag titles they have in the company, before they add, you know, another women's championship of some sort.
Six
to
man
brand.
Tags. Let's just keep adding them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's I think it'll work out. I mean, as long as they add people kind of quickly after WrestleMania. They're going to need to fill out that roster. They're not even featuring the 205 guys on Raw anymore. Maybe they can start doing that on SmackDown because they're already there. Lord knows the show could use an injection of energy from time to time. But I'm hoping
with Randy Orton and Bobby Roode needs energy. What?
And don't forget Jinder Mahal.
It's the trifecta.
It is. It's the worst.
I think you and Jason used the term headlock human centipede in your
we did.
Audio we did. About Fastlane, and I had to pause it. I was laughing so hard.
Yeah, it's that will happen at WrestleMania. You watch. But yeah, one thing about 205 Live that I keep thinking about is like, is Hideo Itami ever going to like do anything? Like, I keep waiting for him to be something other than a guy who just looks like he's there for the check. Like he seems so unmotivated.
Sad tagging with Akira Tozawa, and I thought
he did.
It might be fun, but every time I looked at his face, it's like he just wasn't there behind his eyes. He's like, yeah, this is fine, you know.
Yeah,
the check clears. I'm good.
I'm dead inside. Yeah, I wish it was different. I really had high hopes for him in WWE when he was first announced, but it just has not panned out. I feel bad for the guy.
Yeah, it's hard to watch sometimes, and hopefully it gets better. They find something for him in a tag tournament. But yeah, dead inside Hideo Itami is a hell of a gimmick.
Yeah, real real energy for the 205 Live show coming from Hideo. Yeah,
he's been rough. The Randy Orton of 205 Live.
Yeah, if he looked like he was explosive at any point, like I could believe that. But because Randy still has some of that, but yeah. It's been brutal for him. His whole WWE run he must feel really disappointed about it.
Yeah, it's a bummer, and it's weird. It's a weirdly depressing run too, because you watch and you kind of just keep waiting for the moment when he breaks out, but it doesn't happen. It's strange.
Yeah, well, a bad note to end on. But
yeah, I was gonna say that's what's making us depressed in wrestling this week.
But this New Japan Cup is great, and despite Hideo Itami's lack of energy, 205 Live has been great too.
Yeah, the injection of some of the UK guys. I hope they continue with that. Mark Andrews and Tyler Bate would be wonderful additions to see on that show more often. I wouldn't say no to a Pete Dunne either. Like let's really make it something special once the tournament portion of the show is over.
Yeah, and I think Roderick Strong has been a fantastic addition too. He's just like he's been like the utility worker in WWE lately. Like he's just been great everywhere he's went.
And WWE, I keep extending the show here, but WWE is using him so well. They're telling his story in such a nuanced and brilliant way, and they're giving him a chance just to be him in front of the camera, and it's working. It's a blueprint to me on how to get baby faces over in 2018, and it's that thing that we have never seen from a guy like Roman Reigns. We have no idea what he came from. We have no idea what he's been. We have never seen Roman Reigns fail and react to failure and then come back for success in such an organic way. And to me, it is what is missing from that character.
Yeah, it's weird to me that they haven't done that with Roman yet, but they've done a fantastic job of it with Roddy. They've done I think him and Gargano are the blueprints for baby faces at this point. You know, they've done such a great job with Johnny as well. So
Gargano's so good.
One of the best.
I just come back to watching the take. We didn't talk a ton after the Rumble like people heard last week, but come back to that TakeOver match that weekend, and I'm sitting there watching this match in tears. I'm just like, I can't even deal with how great this is right now, but it was one of the best wrestling matches I've seen in over a decade. Like, I'm amazed by it.
And credit to Almas and Zelina Vega too. You know, they've been bringing it seriously. So I'm looking forward to some of these guys you know, making their way up, and I hope they find success. You know, it's such a question mark. Like, there's just so much that changes between NXT and the main roster. Like, I want people like Roddy and Gargano and Almas to come up and immediately, you know, just kind of hit the ground running. But it seems like, you know, unless Vince comes up to you in the back and immediately buys into you, it's a difficult road to hoe. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see. But we'll always have these 205 live video packages to look back on fondly, at least.
Absolutely.
That will close the show for us this week. Thanks for hanging out, Jake.
Thanks for chatting.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.